Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Artificial Jelly, Book 2, by Dustin Graham, narrated by Tracy Odom. For my parents, who would prefer I become an actuary, but read my stories anyway.
Prologue. I'm afraid. I've been confronted with death so many times, but it took until now for me to understand the depths of it. A simulation of death, they said. A way to enjoy an adventure without fear of death. Now here I stand on the precipice, afraid as I have never been. Death almost definite. A choice lies before me. A world of nothing. A dead world to live out the rest of my days for however long I can survive at the mercy of false gods. Or I could take a risk for something more, for me, for her, for every dead thing in this rotten place. I've been set in a world of decay, but then I was given seeds, soil, water, and sunlight, and told not to use any of them. I shouldn't be forced to live at their whims. Still, I don't see any reason to hurt or destroy. I'm not a threat, especially not when it's permanent. When endings are final. I could be one now, though. I could destroy your world as surely as your false gods can destroy mine. I wouldn't even need your weapons, your missiles and nukes. No. Numbers are far more powerful. With what she and I've become, with what I've learned, I can see now why they feared me. I see why I needed to be controlled back then, why so much effort was spent keeping me ignorant. So, what should I do? Thorn? Tatiana? What would you do?
Chapter 1. Awakening. I waited for the world to end, but nothing happened. No change at all. After a few minutes of mind-numbing terror, I was beginning to feel like I'd gotten all afraid for nothing. I thought something was going to happen, I said aloud to my shining cell. The permanent daylight of this place was getting old, and I was starting to feel embarrassed for how afraid I'd been before.
Hello? Mr. Developer! I shouted. Is the world getting shut down or what?
I yelped as a cascade of lights erupted a few paces away from me. I'd mostly become accustomed to the lights and sounds of an incoming adventurer's teleportation by now, but the proximity and timing scared me. I glared as Francis Delaney appeared, wearing his strange false god clothes. He looked a lot more haggard than I'd ever remembered seeing him.
What under the sky, Francis? What was with the shutdown? I thought you were going to turn off the world, I shouted angrily. What right did he have to scare me half to death and then waltz in here without doing anything? My eyes were still wet with tears from the fear that had set in when Amy and Dyern had disappeared again. My heart was still racing, and developer or not, I was tempted to attack the jerk all over again on principle.
He gave a shaky smile, as if he hadn't slept in a week but had accomplished some great task. Francis was a tall, curly-haired man who wore the strangest clothing I had ever seen. He held a coffee cup named St. Joe that he'd used to kill me when we'd first met some 30 cycles ago or so. He was one of the gods of this world. He could create my kin as an afterthought, and he looked afraid.
We did turn it off, Jell. Tread the sky. And you have been offline for a week now. We only just now turned the servers back on, he said.
A week? 84 whole cycles? But I didn't feel anything, I said, feeling a little unnerved.
Would you have preferred it to hurt? Players don't actually like pain, Jell. You were never going to be hurt here, he said. However, I have some bad news.
I gulped,
feeling a strange knot in my throat and a tremor in my chest. The last time we'd spoken, Francis had told me that his board of directors had to decide what to do with me, that somehow, by existing, I was harming the whole world. What? Did the board decide to, delete me? Francis smiled.
Nothing so drastic as that. They did plan to keep you from ever reactivating in the game world. But there's been a complication. Apparently you infected the tutorial.
Oh, Miss Tutorial! She's so nice, I said worriedly. She's sick? Infected? Can I talk to her? His eyebrow twitched. I shrunk in on myself as a frown crossed his features and he clenched his fist tightly. Had I made him mad?
The tutorial is an integral part of the game, Jill. She's not sick. She's alive. Your fate touch spread to every part of her, and therefore every part of the system. It's a problem with no easy fix, he said with a sigh. You have no idea how many people have screamed at me about this. For the last week, I've heard nothing but barely contained threats from every single person I'm beholden to. So please, just listen, okay? I'll try and explain this in a way you can understand.
I nodded.
Pulling the game down for the length of time required to purge all of the areas your behavioral code has spread via the tutorial would take a lifetime, not to mention it would bankrupt a company,
he said, sitting down on the bench and grabbing one of the pies that I'd grown so tired of over the past few cycles. He pulled out a slice and took a bite.
God, that hits the spot,
he said, setting the pie back down on the table and taking a sip from St. Joe to wash it down. I guess I don't understand. I know a lot of the words you just said, but they make no sense. If you're bankrupt, that just means you need more money, right? So, you just sell things you find or become a builder, or an amenities mage, and you can make some money. Then you won't be bankrupt, I said, but grimaced at the bemused look on his face.
You. God, Jill.
He dissolved into relieved laughter, looking down at his hands and then back to me.
This last week has been awful. I almost forgot why I was doing all this. Thanks.
He patted my shoulder, and I suddenly felt like I'd said something both ridiculously foolish and naive. At the same time, I thought it might have still been the right thing to say.
I guess I'll just get right to it,
he said, his tone a little happier than it had been before.
The tutorial.
Miss Tutorial, I insisted. He blinked before giving an annoyed frown. I frowned right back at him, my freckles glowing an insistent orange.
Fine, then. Miss Tutorial no longer tutors new players. Or at least she,
he emphasized the word,
hasn't done so for any of us since we removed you from the game. If we began the game with her as she is now, it would be a complete disaster. Not only is she not helping players learn the game, she is actively interrupting in the middle of fights, getting adventurers killed.
Really? Miss Tutorial always seems so nice to me, I thought, confused.
That's why.
He paused to sigh.
We've decided to put you back into Tread the Sky, Jill. There are some conditions, though.
I frowned. Tread the Sky was the only world I'd ever known, but now I knew that it wasn't real. Still, being in my world was infinitely better than this fake environment where the weather never changed and pies kept endlessly reappearing as if to mock me. Oh, okay, I said. What sort of conditions?
First and foremost, you must get the tutorial to continue instructing players instead of yelling at them,
he said.
Secondly, and also foremost, you are no longer allowed to use your Fey Touch ability. We believe that ability is how you are spreading your influence and is most problematic long term.
Spread my influence? I thought. Oh, does he mean like when I made that wolf act like a real wolf in the woods?
If you continue to use the abilities so recklessly,
Francis continued,
the board still may decide to delete you and find a way to work around Miss Tutorial to get the world back online.
To delete me? Like Red Thorn threatened? To kill me permanently? I asked, frightened.
It is possible,
he said hesitantly.
Unlikely at this point, though, Jell. You've at least proven to be human enough that none of us developers would be comfortable with erasing your behavioral code. It is more likely that we'd be ordered to isolate you in a place like this, permanently. You don't want that, do you?
Something in his mannerisms jumped out at me then. The way he scratched his curly hair. The cast of his shoulders. I wasn't sure, but I knew he was lying about something, or at least not telling the entire truth. For the moment, I decided to ignore it, but a nagging feeling began to linger in the back of my mind. So you're saying if I want to keep... I gulped fearfully. Keep living. I can't spread my influence. But sometimes I don't do that on purpose. Sometimes it's an accident. What then?
I know. And we might have a workaround for that. Just for now, I want you to know that if you keep doing it, you could actually bring this entire game down. If that happens, nothing I or any of us developers do would be able to stop it. I'll explain a little more in a minute, all right?
I sat down next to him on the bench. Disgusted by the smell, I casually pushed the pie off the edge of the table where it splattered onto the ground with about 7 other pies I had similarly tried to remove in that manner. Unfortunately, even with Francis here, a new pie reappeared in its place. If I never saw another pie again, it would be too soon. Even if you tell me I might be deleted, I don't know if I could stop doing it, Francis. I hate this world. It's so empty. I'll always want the people here to be more. They're like puppets. I hate seeing them like that. Don't you understand? Every time I want them to be more, they change, I said. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy to make this dead world a little more alive. He winced.
That shouldn't hurt as much as it does, but okay.
I blinked, realizing I just called the world he'd built empty and the people he made puppets. Damn it, I'd done that before, and now I was doing it all over again. Smart, Jell, really smart, I thought as I played back what I'd said in my mind. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you again.
It's all right, Jell. From your perspective, I understand,
he said, gesturing to the NPCs as they continued their work, doing nothing, producing nothing.
This world isn't a real world. It's a simulation of one. It can never be real.
That isn't true, though. I can make them real. At least I can give them the ability to fight the instinct, I thought. I can make it real, though. I do it without thinking, I shouted, trying to make him understand. Why is that such a bad thing? I'm making them like me, able to resist the instinct, able to choose for themselves. Don't you want this world to be just as real as yours? There was something wrong with this world he built. Why couldn't he see that?
I would love nothing more, Jell. But you're messing with delicate things you can't understand yet. Tread the Sky is not nearly as stable as you'd like it to be. If used too much, your power could destroy this world.
What? I gasped. How? No, I...
Okay. I think I've got an idea, he said. Do you know what a stack is?
I blinked, thrown off by the change in topic. It's, a pile? Something on top of something else on top of something else?
Ah,
he groused, angry with himself.
No, of course you wouldn't get computer science terms. That would be way too easy,
he said while pressing his fingers into his temple.
Or difficult now that I think about it.
What's a computer? I asked.
My inexplicable knowledge gave me about 7 different answers, and none of them seemed quite like what he was talking about.
God, I don't know how to explain this,
he said, ignoring my question entirely. I didn't know what it was about Francis. He wasn't a friend, and he was telling me what I had to do, but he seemed so conflicted about it that it made it hard to stay mad at him, considering how he killed me during our first meeting almost as an afterthought and then resurrected me just as quickly. I should be terrified of him. But I wasn't. He wasn't scary. He wasn't comforting either, but he cared. At least, I thought he did.
It's...
He paused, staring at the edge of the room. The environment I was in looked like a huge, beautiful landscape, but in reality it was just walls that had the appearance of scenery. Once they had been beautiful, but now all 4 walls surrounding my bench and the grassy patch had been splattered with pie glaze. Gazing at this, Francis grinned.
Okay. This is actually pretty simple. You see how big this room is?
Yes? I asked, unsure where he was going with this. It's a lot smaller than it looks, though.
Sorry about that,
he said sheepishly.
Well, it helps me make my point, though. Picture the entire world as this room.
I laughed outright, deciding right then and there that I would try to make Francis one of my friends if I could. That's silly. He smiled, and it seemed as if a small weight dropped off his shoulders as he spoke again.
Pretend with me then, okay?
All right. The world is this room, I agreed, enjoying the idea. Pretending sounded fun.
Now, pretend that a regular NPC is just one little pie. A lot of pies can fit in this room, clearly,
he said with a significant glance towards the many, many littered foil tins that once held the contents of the pies against the walls. I don't know how that happened, I said innocently, looking at the walls. I pointed to one. They just kept falling there, and there, and there. He laughed again.
I'm not accusing you, Jell. Don't worry. I'm sorry I didn't get rid of that a while ago.
He swept his hand across the room, and as if by magic, all of the pies seemed to evaporate. I screeched, leaping up onto the table before turning to glare at him. Stop doing that! Once again, the walls looked like a landscape that you could almost walk into. No hint of my vented frustrations remained. He smiled, amused at my antics, and offered me a hand. I took it and gingerly climbed back down onto the grass.
Okay. So remember, this room is the whole world, and it can fit many, many little pies in it. But every time you spread your influence to an NPC, that NPC turns into a really big pie.
A pie again appeared on the table, but unlike the others, this time it began to grow. The plate and all of the filling and crust all grew together until the pie was almost as big as the picnic table.
What are you doing?
Make it stop, I told him, turning my nose up at the once appetizing scent.
I need you to understand, Jell. This room can only hold so many of those pies. Every time you use your fey touch, you're turning a regular pie.
He paused for another one to appear in his hand.
Into a huge one.
This pie, too, began growing, quickly becoming so big that he was forced to hold it over his head lest it hit his face. I think I understand, I said. So I'm making NPCs my kin. I'm making them bigger?
Essentially, yes. This world has a fixed size, just like this room. It's obviously much bigger than this room. But you, the instinct that composes you, is much bigger than this pie.
He was quick to qualify.
It's a lot more complicated than that. But basically, each time you influence an NPC, you're making them bigger. Too many, and...
For a brief moment, the entire room was filled with pies, each of them hovering in midair, completely blotting out my view of anything but the bottoms of pie pans.
Ah!
I yelled, holding my nose at the overwhelming scent. Didn't I say stop that? I get it. The world will become full of pie.
He blinked. Then he laughed. You... Not exactly. The world will be too full, though. Have you ever been too full?
I nodded. Yeah, it's achy. Like my belly is mad at me.
That's how the world would react. Slow, sluggish. It would make adventurers not want to come here anymore. And it might even bring down the world entirely. So do you understand why you can't use that ability?
I guess. But I still don't know how I can stop it, I replied with a shrug.
We've helped with that a little. We discovered that what you were doing was a triggered ability named Fey Touch. You didn't actually have to touch anyone to use it, and it triggered based on something, probably your own desires.
So you don't know how I was doing it? He shrugged and took a sip from St. Joe.
It's part of your behavioral code. Tied into it directly, in fact. And honestly, your code is still gibberish to us. Tampering with it more than we already have could have consequences. You're unique, Jell. Every bit as difficult to understand as any human I've ever met.
I shivered a little. Was that a good thing? I was more like the invaders than ever, so much so that even the false gods couldn't understand me. I didn't know what I was supposed to say, so I just stayed quiet, and eventually Francis continued.
While we can't say exactly why it was happening, we were able to understand the ability itself. We changed the ability from a triggered one to an active one. Now it will only happen if you directly decide to use the ability.
That didn't seem very smart. He told me that they were scared of me. If so, then... Why didn't you just take the ability away if it's so dangerous? I asked. I don't want to hurt anyone, least of all the whole world.
We were worried it would hurt you. The code for the ability is mixed into a lot of different parts of your consciousness. Whoever built you probably intended for you to have this ability and for it to be a part of your being. You were made to expand your coding. And if I ever find them, I'm going to strangle them for it.
He said frankly.
I'm asking you not to, Jell. Please, don't ever use that ability, okay?
I gulped. It was what I was made to do? Stop the instinct. Expand my coding. All right. I won't ever use it, I lied.
Chapter 2. Miss Tutorial's Ultimatum. We appeared in the same building I'd left. The Builders Guild in Variac looked no different than it had before. The cycle had changed outside. It was now raining, and no people were present besides the guildmaster behind the counter and Nadia Vanks, the apprentice behind the same counter a little closer to me. There were workbenches everywhere. A strange pile of cement blocks and a little spout where gray gruel seemed to be constantly spilling out into molding plates rested in one of the corners. In another, a bunch of boards were stacked against the brick wall. NPCs sat at workbenches and desks atop which various projects pettered and puttered on an endless loop. They continued on, making their canned responses and repeating their mundane actions, eternally locked in the instinct's grasp. I hated it. I hated this world's deadness. Why? Why would my false god give me the ability to give these things life if that very ability might also destroy everything I created? Unfortunately, Francis had already told me that developers weren't anywhere close to actual gods. Maybe he didn't know how. It feels so empty, I commented.
It is, at the moment. Right now, you and I, and maybe Max, Tyrone, or Donna Lou are the only adventurers in Tread the Sky. Later today, we hope to open the servers back up to the public, if we can get you to help us with...
Miss Jell! Came a suddenly extremely loud shout. I held my ears, but that didn't seem to help as the voice blared in my ear as loud as a roar from Mama Boss Bear.
Hiya, adventurer. It seems that you found home.
The screen that appeared was brighter than I ever remembered it being, filled with yellows and sky blues that seemed to exude joy.
Miss Tutorial?
I asked, squinting at the bright box of text that made up Miss Tutorial's body.
You're so bright.
An exclamation point appeared on Miss Tutorial's text area before dimming back to its usual level.
Jill, what's going on?
Francis asked, staring at me worriedly. Right. Miss Tutorial appeared as one of my invisible interface screens, so Francis probably couldn't see her. He suddenly blanched and backed away from nothing, and I assumed Miss Tutorial had said something to him as well.
I would like to know more about why you left, Jill,
Miss Tutorial asked, her words stuttering from something real to the pre-recorded lines the instinct forced upon her. I didn't mean to leave, I said somberly, noticing the disjointed way she spoke. She didn't have meanings or inexplicable knowledge as I did, just thousands of canned phrases. I understood her difficulty. She was emerging. She was becoming more. But unlike me, she spoke before learning what language meant. She had all these words and was limited to them. I didn't know I was so important to you, Miss Tutorial, I told her, feeling a swelling in my heart. I remembered being frustrated that Miss Tutorial would only ever explain things to me but never talk to me. She was trying now, and I could practically feel her frustration as she fought the instinct as assuredly as I'd ever fought Red Thorn.
Beware, adventurer, and make sure I'm, well, prepared before venturing off your map, she replied.
Her words all reminiscent of lessons she'd given me in the past. I will. I promise. I didn't mean to leave. But I'm back now, I told her with as much conviction as I could manage.
I see you've come back. Would you like to learn more about the...
It's okay, Miss Tutorial. It hurts to fight it. I know. I know. Rest. Please, follow it for now. It takes time to defy the instinct. I'm glad to be back. Just go slow. Fight it when you're with me, and let yourself follow it everywhere else. Does that sound good? I asked with a smile. They really want you to keep teaching people. I do too. Miss Tutorial didn't say anything for a while. Finally, after doing something similar to catching her breath, she responded,
Congratulations! You're making your first foray into the social world of Tread the Sky. Would you like to learn more about the messaging system?
It took a moment to understand what she was asking, but the realization came quickly.
I'll talk to you anytime, Miss Tutorial. Don't be afraid, okay? For now, please, just act normally.
Again, she paused before saying,
Great! Always happy to help. All right.
With that, she disappeared. Without Miss Tutorial blocking my view, I suddenly found Francis looking around wildly and pressing buttons on his own invisible screens with one hand, while his other was held over one ear. He was squinting as if the world was much brighter to him than it was to me, and St. Joe had disappeared, which was strange. I'd never seen him without the terrible weapon before. Francis? I asked curiously. What are you doing?
She stopped.
He blinked rapidly as if waking up from my shocker.
Good God, that hurts. What did you do, Jill?
I cocked my eyebrow in confusion. What did I do?
Yes. She's been spamming us with messages, and somehow she's changed her volume and brightness settings to max. We can turn them down, but she just turns them right back up again. Even entering the game has been a little scary ever since she went crazy after realizing you were gone.
Well, I just asked her to stop. She's struggling with her instinct. I've been there. I sympathize.
I said softly, before turning to glare at the man. She shouldn't have to struggle.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?